tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everyone, what's up? We're here for another episode of Spotlight On. I'm your host, Stacey Eichen. We're joined with Bing Mary Jane's own Stephen Bishop. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am good. I will say that I've already had fun and we haven't really started. You guys haven't seen everything, but we already got chit-chatting before. So, I don't know if I want to talk about the show first or just outside life, because I know that Bing Mary Jane is coming in February 3rd.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
So is everybody else. I see last season Omari got to get a little bit more shirtless, but this season I feel like you're going to be a little bit more naked. Is this true?
That is true. That is true. That was something I went to Salim and Mara and I was like, hey, wait a minute. I work hard in the gym. How come I don't get to get naked on TV?
Right.
So they wrote me in some naked scenes. No, I'm kidding.
Have you seen the trailer?
I have not seen the trailer.
That's all I'm going to say. I want you to be surprised on your own. It's great.
Okay.
It's great.
Right on.
It's wonderful. Before we jump more into the show and details, I know that you're originally from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Chicago. I have a lot of friends from there. And then you pursued baseball before you pursued acting.
I did. I played baseball my whole life. I started in organized baseball when I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My father actually brought a baseball glove to the maternity ward, and my mother taught me how to hit as soon as I could stand.
Wow.
So I've been a baseball player my whole life. And, I played, through high school, got a scholarship to college,
right.
Went to UC Riverside, played in College World Series, and then went on to play with Atlanta and Baltimore in professional ranks.
That's amazing. So not that I want to say, when did that end, but when did the transition from baseball to acting kind of begin?
Well, it actually was a very abrupt transition.
Okay.
It literally went one minute to the next.
Right.
I was playing for Baltimore and I got released and I was sitting in my kitchen fielding calls to see if I was going to continue All my right. playing career. And I kept hearing this voice in my head and it kept saying, it's time, it's time, it's time. And I took that to mean it was time for me to transfer off of the baseball train and onto the train that would take me to my ultimate destination, which was acting. I knew I was going to do it. I knew I was going to act either during or after baseball. I just didn't know when or how it was going to happen. And so that day I packed my stuff, rented a car, and drove to L.A. And here we are at AfterBuzz TV.
That's awesome. So, I mean, a lot of people have the story where they pick up and leave. What was your first year like?
That's
the love-hate time.
It was pretty awful.
Okay, you're doing something right, people.
It was pretty awful. I'm not new to this.
Right.
I'm not the overnight success that people, dream
Think,
about
yeah.
becoming.
Yeah, right.
This is actually my second tour of duty here in Los Angeles because mm-hmm. the first year, the Braves called after about 9 months being here and they said,
okay.
We want to know if you would like to go to our minority scouting internship. And I was like, no, not really. I'm out here doing this. And they were like, well, it's in West Palm Beach, Florida. It's for 2 weeks. We're going to give you pay. We're going to give you per diem. We're going to give you a hotel. We're going to give you a car. So basically, it was a 2 week vacation
right,
in South Florida.
Right.
So I was like, well, I can't pass that up when I'm sitting here broke. So I went and I did that, and a couple weeks later, they called me and they said, listen, we've been reading your reports from the internship, and it seems like you've been doing this for 10 years. We want to offer you a job. Great. And again, I was like, I'm not into scouting. I want to, I still think I should be playing.
Right.
excuse me. And so they said, well, before you turn it down, let us tell you what your coverage area is going to be. It's going to be all the black colleges around the country. So from the north to the south, all the way west, as far as black colleges go, I got to cover all of them. So I was like Matt Leinart in that commercial. I get to go back to college. You know, I'm 25 years old.
That's
I get to go
awesome.
Back to college and go to all the black colleges.
That's amazing.
By myself.
Seriously, that sounds like they didn't have a partner.
With no curfew? With no
Bad
rules?
Idea. I like it.
It was fantastic.
That's
it was fantastic.
Amazing.
It was a great experience. I got to drive a lot alone. That's where I really got in touch with myself and learned how to be alone. Because when I was young, I didn't ever want to be alone.
Right.
And then I came back after 2 years of that.
So the 2 year time, what did you learn that made you feel like, okay, now go?
I learned that I wasn't cut out to be a scout. If I was going to be involved in baseball anymore, it was going to be as a coach. And that wasn't on the table at the time. And I didn't really feel like trying to make it be on the table. I had actually gotten a girlfriend in the time that I was scouting, and she was from Miami and was moving to Los Angeles to be an actor as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the girls always win.
Yeah, you know.
I could just hear it.
So, you know, when my contract was up with the Braves, it seemed like a really logical and easy fit step for me.
Right.
You know, I was going to have support. I was going to have, you know, a confidant out here who was going through the exact same thing at the exact same time. So that's how I came back, and I never turned back.
So then what was the second first year? What was the difference there?
The second first year was different. I actually booked a film the second first year, Pitcher in the Pinup, directed by Drew Johnson, starring Drew Johnson and Corinna Harney Jones and myself. And I got a Nivea commercial where it was Nivea men's skincare.
Interesting. Where
I had my face. It was for aftershave, and I had my face in the freezer trying to, you know, cool off after shaving. And you know what I found? Nivea redid that spot. About 2 years ago, I saw another guy for the same product doing the exact same thing. And I'm like, wow, man. I'm like, you could have just run my spot again. I
would have
minded
no
that money.
Right, go and send that check. So do you use Nivea right now, or are they just for kicks?
No, that was just for a job.
Gotcha. So, okay, we've transitioned into acting. We've had our first year. I got a chance to watch a reel, which was really exciting because I see a little bit of shots from Girlfriend, and I'm like, pause, wait. Like, I remember that episode so clearly, and I remember hating your character in that episode that was years ago. I mean, you're obviously wonderful, but I hated your character, and then the accent. Like, what was that set? Do you remember that moment or getting into that character?
Yeah, I do.
He wasn't a good guy.
He wasn't a bad guy.
He wasn't a terrible guy.
Well, let me ask you this, just really quickly.
Okay.
If you and your girlfriends had a party.
Okay.
And your girlfriends were like, this is girls' night out.
Right.
Okay, we're partying. We're going to let our hair down. We're going to do our thing.
Right, right.
And this guy that you were dating just showed up.
Yeah.
And was like, let me in. What would you do?
I'm on the spot. I feel like if my friends like him, I'd let him in.
But they've already told you it's girls' night. There is no, they don't want that.
Then I'm coming outside and I'm going to tell them I got to go.
You're going to leave the party? Or are you going to tell him,
hey? I can take 5 minutes. It's my party.
Okay. Well, you know, what Alex did in that moment was step outside and say, Maya, listen, I didn't invite you here. This isn't my party.
Right.
I can't do anything for you here.
It just made me sad. You know, I love Maya. Like, she was the rest of her friends were cool, too. But I just love the relationship you guys, like, that episode, how you were kind of, like, not necessarily stringing her along, but just kind of trying to be her friend or trying to be the guy for her. But also she was like, I need a different guy. I need you to be there all the time. So it was just another one of those great girlfriend episodes where you get to see, you know, a relationship.
To answer your question.
Right.
I think the accent actually got me the job because it wasn't supposed to be there.
Okay.
And so when I auditioned, I went in and I just played one of my old professional baseball roommates.
How hilarious.
So I played and I was like, wait, this guy is a baseball player, Alex Mendoza. He's Latin. I can do this. Because I speak Spanish and I knew the accents very well.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And I ended up booking the job because and I'm pretty sure that's why I got it.
I could honestly, it was a perfect edge. Like it just made that character so much more fun. And there's also been so many other characters. I mean, Battleship, The Game, Grey's Anatomy. Love Grey's Anatomy, Moneyball. So, out of all these sets, was there one that you feel like you're the most grateful for? I mean, you had your
easy.
Okay, yes,
Moneyball.
I can understand why.
Was the culmination of a lifetime of baseball dreaming, coming to fruition. I got to play my idol,
right?
I got to do it on the baseball field that I grew up watching pro baseball games at. I got to wear that uniform. I got to do it with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
And, you know, rest his soul, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right.
And I got paid for it.
Just a dream.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was the perfect storm. It can't get any better. And I've had a lot of fun since then. I got to go to Cape Town, South Africa to work with Denzel on Safe House.
Right.
I mean, as an actor, where David Justice was my idol as a teenager, Denzel Washington was my idol as a young actor. And, you know, he was gracious enough to give me advice as an actor very young in my career.
Wonderful.
So then 10, 11 years down the road, for me to show up on set and walk up to him and have him be like, oh my God,
you made it. How cool.
You got here. My life and my career have both been very serendipitous. There's been a lot of serendipity in my life. And that's something that I wish a lot of more people would be aware of. When something happens in your life that is really, really unexplainable and you don't know why, take note of that and see how many times that happens in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I met David Justice when I was a teenager. 20 years later, I got to play him in a movie. And in between
so cool.
that time, we became friends. And
right.
he became like a big brother to me, took me under his wing. So I knew him. I knew his swing inside out because I idolized him and I wanted to be like him when I was a kid. It just, you know, serendipity. It's God is great all the time.
That's
you know?
Awesome. That's so great. I feel like stories like that, you know, people don't get to always... They don't feel as grateful sometimes because they feel like, oh, next thing. We live in a city where it's always like that. So for someone to say, yes, my career has been amazing, up, downs, and turnarounds, that's really great.
Yeah, the journey. It's all about the journey. I mean, when you're in the downs, it's tough for a lot of people, which is why a lot of people leave Los Angeles and they, you know, they throw in the towel. But I was always taught as a baseball player, if you just stick around, and as a hitter, that means – foul off pitches until you get one that you can drive.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stick around in an at-bat, you'll have success. But if you're an easy out, the game is going to walk right over you and spit you out and go on to the next guy. So, you know, you're in the times where you're trying to decide who's going to eat you or your animal, and you're going to pick your animal.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's tough. But for me, for some reason, I've always had not a belief – but a knowledge that this was supposed to happen.
Right.
And I couldn't explain why. I just knew in my heart and my soul that I was headed down this road. And I had agents ask me, where does this confidence come from? Where do you, and I mean, and that comes from baseball. That
right.
comes from hitting a pitch baseball second maybe to hitting a golf ball where you want to is the hardest thing to do in sport.
Right.
If you're great as a hitter, you're going to fail 70% of the time.
Wow,
there's
that's
no
a good
other,
note.
There's nothing else in life that you can be successful as a 70% failure.
Wow.
So when you're sitting and you have that knowledge, and it's easy to have some confidence because you've been through the hardest thing you're going to go through
right.
in life, you know, other than, you know, unhealthy times and loss of family and things like that. But on a more superficial level, you've been through the hardest thing you can go through, and you've conditioned your brain to walk through adversity without being daunted by it. And so it's interesting to be in this type of a situation with that type of a background and that type of a
it's called preparation. That's what it sounds like. You
it's,
know?
It's armor.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
kind of like armor.
Exactly. That's great. And I was going to say, like, what's your mantra, would you say? Do you have kind of one line or one sentence or one verse or something like that, that kind of...
I've always said, and somebody said this to me a long time ago, they said, if you want to see rainbows, you're going to have to withstand a little rain.
So buy the right rain boots. That's what he just said. Yeah. Gotcha.
You know, just got to weather the storm.
I love it. So now we transition into your current roles. Cannot wait to see With This Ring coming out January 24th. Tell me about the set. I know you've been friends with Regina Hall for, what, 15 years?
Yeah, about 15 years.
I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, and just... Not like super tight friends, we met, we clicked. I did some work with one of her ex-boyfriends, and we met at the time, and we clicked. And whenever we would see each other, it was always, you know, a lot of love and hugs. And she's, you know, she's such a great person. Mm-hmm. She's so smart. She's so funny. She's so compassionate. I'm a big animal lover. She's a huge animal lover.
Yes.
And, you know, she's just a fantastic person. So when I found out I got to work with her, I knew it was going to be easy because we have a really, you know, a really good affection for each other. Not physically or anything like that, but just a really, you know, a mutual admiration. Right. And so I was like, wow, this is going to be so much fun
because
I know her already. And it's like I watch her on movies and television, things like that. And it's like, wow, she's so good. And now I get a chance to be there with her. It's fun.
So what was preparation like between, I mean, because there's you and three. Can you give me like a little bit of the premise? What's the way you describe the movie? I've watched the trailer and I've had a lot of fun, but for the viewers.
The film is based on a book called The Vow, mm-hmm. where three best friends go to their fourth best friend's wedding, mm-hmm. and they make a vow that the three of them will be married within the year, regardless of who it is. You know,
even if
it's the guy they don't want to marry.
Right.
You know? And so Jill, Scott, Eve, and Regina play mm-hmm. the three friends. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Sudano is the woman who got married in the beginning of the film.
The lucky one.
And Nate, my character, is a senior agent in the talent agency that Trista, who is Regina's character, works
mm-hmm.
at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
How it all
that's how
unfolds.
That's the premise. Okay, so tune in.
Yes,
Saturday, January 24th.
That's definitely the girls' night that you were talking about.
Yeah, what if I show up at your girls' night? Hey.
You know, people are gonna let you. Don't even play. Don't even ask that kind of question. Don't do that. You know, I'll have a scene case. So we go from that to you get to work with your co-star from who also executive produced With This Ring, Gabrielle Union, one of my favorites.
Me too.
Absolutely love her. What's the thing that you think you've learned from her with being her co-star and so much of this?
What I've learned from Gabrielle is that when you are playing on this level, you need to be prepared.
Mm.
Not to say that I don't come prepared because I've always prided myself on being prepared, even in auditions. It really aggravates me to even miss a line in an audition.
Sure.
But Gabrielle is in almost every scene in the show, and I've never heard her miss a line. She's so professional.
Wow.
She's so prepared, and it's astonishing to
yeah.
me because there's so much for her, both emotionally and memorization-wise, not to mention her real life is, you know, a whirlwind with,
right.
you know, everything that she does. I've learned that the players play. You know, and you can show up unprepared and unprofessional if you want to, but if you come across a woman like that, you're
Don't
gonna get
play.
You're gonna
yep.
get eaten up, and you might lose your job because you know when somebody like that comes to the set, they want to work and they
right.
want to get it done.
Right.
They don't want to sit here and have me do 18 takes because I can't remember my lines. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Fortunately for me, like I said, that's not a problem with me. But
in general,
that's something I've learned from her. She's outstanding at
that's
that.
Amazing. So, like I said, so if y'all haven't seen the trailer, you need to see the trailer. So we end last season.
What's going on in this trailer, man?
You just need to see it. No, I'm just kidding. So we end last season with some alluded baby mama drama to come. And you just told Gabrielle, you know, to get lost, and she just handed you back things that belong to you.
Yes.
As you know, rightfully you own. So how do we transition to season two now?
Well, we're going to pick up where we left off.
Yes.
You know, David still has these issues. I mean, just because he says no to her, it doesn't mean it just disappears. Right. You know, he has to close that door right. and now turn around and go back inside and be like, okay, this is the life that I've chosen, but I'm really not all the way in.
Right.
You know, I mean, so he's got to figure this out. He's got to figure out what he's going to do. He's got to figure out if he loves the woman he's having a baby with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being assumed, or
is it
has,
rude that I don't think you do?
No, it's not rude because we haven't seen much interaction right, between right. them. And you know, more and more in our society, people are having children with people that they don't love. And, you know, it's not necessarily the best thing, but it's reality. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of the things that I find so refreshing about being Mary Jane is that it's such a real mm-hmm. show. And mm-hmm. the reason I think so many people are connecting with it is the fact that everybody in that show is going through something that someone can relate to.
Right.
Whether it be Kara's character who's juggling being a superpower executive at the network and trying to figure out how to love her children, or BJ Britt's character, PJ, who is trying to figure out whether he wants to be a weed dealer right, or an architect, yeah. and, you know, or Richard Brooks' character, who's trying to get clean, right. but, you know, that demon keeps, I mean, everybody's going through something in
realistic
that show
problem,
that America deals with as a whole. So I think that's why so many people are able to embrace it, because they can see themselves in it.
Would you see yourself directing at all?
Maybe. Oh yeah, I would love to direct. I don't know that I'll get a chance to direct any of these episodes.
Sure, right.
I mean, they got heavyweights.
They got their people.
You know,
yeah,
they got
yeah.
heavyweights right, coming right, in. Regina right. King directed a couple
yeah,
this year. You know, so but I'm definitely going to direct something. I've written a short film. I've written a few things. I've written a pilot. I've written a short film, which I've adapted to a story for a feature. I don't want to write the feature script, though. I want right. a professional to do that. But
so you
it's just in my nature to direct. I mean, mm-hmm. when I played baseball, I was a team captain. Mm-hmm. I like to make sure
right.
things are going the right way.
Right.
I mean, I'm a Virgo, so we're really, you know, uber organized and all of that. So,
you know.
Oh, you're right after me. You got a little
we do.
Bit.
We,
you know?
I got a
are
little
you a
bit
September
of...
Libra?
I'm an October 22nd. Like, I'm,
oh,
I should
wow.
accidentally.
You're a Scorpio.
I know. Look, no, I'm not. I looked it up. I'm still Libra.
Okay.
I can't be it. Please don't let me be a Scorpio.
Like on that. Barely. Barely.
You so got me. Wow. Make a meme out of that, Steven. Wow. I feel like that's a joke that I'm going to get for a long time now. Anyway, I'm not telling anybody my birthday. I love it. So is there a role? Because you play a lot of good guys, to be honest. I mean, girlfriends, I'm not going to talk about that. But you do play a lot of the good kind of guy roles. Would you want to play the villain?
Actually, yes. That's actually my
dream
ambition
okay.
is to play a villain.
Yeah.
My inspiration for my villain has, for the life of my career, has been Gary Oldman in The Professional.
Good one.
And
yeah.
because he was an intelligent villain. He wasn't the rah-rah, blah-blah-blah
right,
guy,
right, right.
you know? So, yeah, I definitely would like to play that type of a character. And there's, you know, there's other characters that I have ambitions
to play.
Do spill. Well, I mean, it's tough. It's James Bond is a character that the short film that I wrote because I wanted to be the first black James Bond, and I was going to write a James Bond installment
okay.
to show how James Bond became black.
Right.
And in my installment, and because I can say it now because I didn't choose to do it, but in my installment, my character, whose name was James Bond, was the illegitimate son of James Bond and Halle Berry's character.
And what happened to this now?
I scrapped it because I couldn't write a full James Bond movie. This was years ago when I started this.
Oh,
so I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous. You've bitten off way more than you can chew. Okay, so just write a short film.
Right.
Have a Bond-esque character and make the short and show the studio that you can play a character like that.
Right, right.
So, you know, and you know, it's I've been watching and I've been seeing the names that have been thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got some good choices. And,
yeah.
you know, I feel like I have to speak it into existence to put my name in that hat,
yeah.
you know, because, I mean, the names that I've heard, I'm fans of them.
Those people,
you
right,
know,
right,
I'm
right.
I'm a big fan of Idris,
yeah.
you know, and we've
yeah.
met and we've had an opportunity to sit and talk, and he's a great guy,
right.
cool as you want to be.
Right.
Jesse Williams. We got the same acting coach,
mm-hmm.
friend of mine.
Light skin,
you know,
guys unite.
You know,
yeah,
we're friends now.
Y'all on the come up right now.
But you know, I'm a competitor, and so if I want something, I'm going to try to compete for it. I don't want to just get steamrolled by the social media
right.
and the fact that, you know, allegedly Sony says that they would like somebody to be involved.
Right.
You know, hopefully it's an open competition because I would like to. Have my name in the hat there.
You guys heard it here first. When you see the movie and Steven's in it, just, you know, you were a part of that.
Maybe I can speak it into existence.
Love it.
Or maybe
I
can shoot myself in the foot by saying it on television. But I don't know. It needs to get out there. Somebody
Either,
needs
right.
to say it.
And we are here to help.
I appreciate you giving me the platform.
We are here to help.
Lobby
That's all we-
for James Bond.
Exactly. We should start cheering, but it's only two of us. Anyway, did you see the Oscar nominations?
I did.
Did you form any opinions?
Of course I did.
Of course
you
did. I know.
You know. That's a leading question.
It is.
I just have a question for you, and if you can explain it to me, then I'll be satisfied.
Okay.
If a movie gets nominated for Best Film, how is it that the director and the lead actor don't get nominated in the same year? What's so good about it? If it's not the actor and it's not the filmmaking.
And it didn't direct itself.
It didn't direct itself. It didn't just appear as a film. So, yeah, that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an issue. And, you know, it's difficult to say what agendas are what. You know, there's no proof. There's a lot of speculation and there's a lot of valid speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people have been getting certain recognition only for certain types of roles.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Denzel Washington could have easily won an Oscar for Malcolm X. He could have easily won an Oscar for Reuben Hurricane Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got one. And, I mean, you're not going to sneeze at any Oscar you earn.
Right.
But then he got one for a rogue, dirty, underhanded cop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
that's a really interesting perspective.
Lupita
yeah.
won for being a slave, and Hallie won for being an abusive mother, and Monique won for being an abusive mother. There's no real positive characters that have won the Oscar for us.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. Martin Luther King, especially in the 50th anniversary of Selma, you know, it seems like that would be so timely and so apropos that, and the fact that he did a fantastic job to the point where the Academy nominated the movie.
Yeah.
I just don't, there's some things that I need explained.
Do you think that we're telling the same story at all? We had 12 Years a Slave, we've had the Django, we had Selma. Do you feel like there's a certain stigma to the type of movies we're telling? We're not giving a lot of voice to, we're not telling more stories. So if they've seen 12 Years a Slave, maybe they don't feel like, and I don't like they, but I mean anybody in the Academy. Do you feel like that's a problem?
Well, we're being allowed to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
There are some of us at this point that are taking our own lead and making movies that we want to make, but we still need distribution. We still need we still need help to get the movie out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a barrier that prevents us from being able to put out every story we want to. We're only going to get so many opportunities, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
So I think it's tough to really say we're telling the same story. I think we're being allowed to see the same story.
Sure. Okay.
So I think that's part of the problem.
Okay.
I think maybe we need to start doing another version of the Oscars, if it's at all possible, to where we could include everybody. I mean, we do the Image Awards. Mm-hmm. We do the BET Awards. Maybe we have to do another, another higher end award show where we include not just black films, but everybody, let our people pick who's going to be what. So, mm-hmm. I mean, especially if there's not diversity on the Academy.
Right.
What I just said is being said without me knowing who's on the Academy.
Right.
I don't know.
I heard
who's
the average age was like 62. Now, that might be a joke for
how
my
many
friend,
black people?
I just know about the president and Scratchhead to the rest.
And the president is?
She's the one who announced the names. She's like of the art division, something. I don't have her specific title, but I don't personally know everyone on the Academy, but I was talking to a couple of people, just kind of figure out what they thought. And from what I hear, that Selma didn't give out screeners, or they were just trying to give me reasons and things. And so I brought to the question.
Well, there was that it was late.
Film? Yeah, I heard that.
It was late. I've heard that.
It really didn't come from, malicious background. It was just, it was late, a lot of people didn't see it, whatever the case is. So, I mean, it's just been interesting because it has been a lot of conversation going on about what it is. Are we telling the same story? Are we showing them as in the Academy that we can do other things? Were other movies besides Selma supposed to be nominated? Is Selma the only movie we should be upset about? Is that a good thing when there's only one movie that we're, you know what I mean? There's so many different ways
to
look at it.
Yeah, I mean, there were other snubs. I can't recall them right now, but I remember seeing, oh, wow, I can't believe that mm-hmm. didn't happen. That didn't happen.
Right, right.
But the ones that I'm concerned about, because we have to be concerned, if we're not concerned about us, who is going to be?
Right.
The ones that I'm concerned about are Ava and David not getting nominated.
Right.
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine it. If the film is nominated, how is the director not?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to
right.
me. And I'm not I'm not the guy who's going to, pull the race card every time, I get an opportunity. But when I see it, I'm not going to shy away from it either.
Sure.
So I'm not going to say that that's what this is about. I'm just going to say that this is another brick on the heap of bricks that could be the case for that, if
right.
I was trying to fight that case.
Right. Understandable. Where are you going to be on February 3rd?
February 3rd, I'm hoping I'm going to be on the East Coast doing some things before.
Some new stuff?
No, before the show comes on. I'm hoping to.
Like ducking?
No, I'm hoping to do some morning stuff.
Nice.
I was just on ESPN, co-hosted His and Hers with
mm-hmm.
Jemele Hill,
and
I'm hoping to go back and do First Take and
so
all of that.
Cool.
But I'm waiting to hear back from them on that. And then when the show comes on, I don't know. They may have us somewhere so we
right.
can live tweet.
Yeah.
And if that's not the case, I'll probably have some friends over and watch. And if not,
you'll do it together.
I thought I was going to do that. I thought I was going to do that last year at a few episodes, and I ended up just watching by myself
right.
at home because I haven't seen anything.
Right.
So,
exciting.
When I don't see anything, I kind of want to watch it by myself so that
right.
just in case there's anything that I don't have to be there with my friends and them going, God, this guy's terrible.
No, that's not. They're going to be like, oh my God, he's. Anyway, any upcoming projects that you want to kind of tell us about?
With this ring,
in addition,
obviously,
yes.
And right now I'm back in training. I'm back on Operation Shred, trying to will season 3
right.
into existence.
Love it,
And
yeah.
I feel like if
I'm sure that's happening.
Like they say, if you build it, they will come. So gonna go and I'm gonna build my body here and hope that I have a good reason for it in a few months.
I love it. I love it. Well, congratulations on all your success. I'm so excited for February 3rd. I'm a huge fan of the show and a huge fan of yours. So
I appreciate
exciting.
It. Thank
yes,
you very
no
much.
Problem. Before we end, we're going to do a quick LA lightning round.
Okay.
So you have one of the other questions. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Ralph's or Trader Joe's?
Gelson's.
Fine. Loafers or Oxfords? Really? The silence says everything.
Well, I wore both, but if I was going to say my favorite would be my Ferragamo loafers.
Nice. Okay. So premieres or award shows?
Golf.
You'd rather not even be there? What?
That's not, those aren't,
you get look, to dress up
listen,
and whatnot.
Yeah, I know, but that's not really my thing.
Right.
My publicist will tell you they've had to twist my arm a few times to get me to
she
do
did.
Something.
You know,
if I'm nominated, I'll be at these things.
Of course.
If I'm presenting, but just to go. You know, I'm in baseball. I learned a lot about winning, and I actually was fortunate and blessed enough to have won things
right.
in my career.
Right.
So. Just to be there isn't satisfying for me.
The competitor comes
yeah,
out.
It's
yeah,
it's like I don't, if I'm not there for a reason, why am I there?
Interesting.
And I don't, you know, what I don't do what I do for attention or for accolades or
right,
anything like
right.
that. So I would rather golf. Play golf.
Nice. All right. And last but not least, Runyon versus Griffith.
Well, I golf at Griffith Park sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
So
we got it, like, this. Is it golfing, like, once a week, twice a week, three times a week?
When I'm not in training, I golf 3-4 times a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Obama golfs. We should get that together.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love to play golf
again,
with the
on AfterBuzz. We have put a lot out there for you today.
Yes, yes. And, you know, before we go, I would like to say that, Mr. President, if you're watching this, I love what you're doing for the country. I think you've done a fantastic job in the face of all the unadulterated hate that you have seen. I can't imagine a person being more cool, more classy, and more dignified than you have. I appreciate the time you've given us. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, I would also like... No, I'm just kidding. This was awesome. Thank you so much for being here. With us in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
No
I had a great
problem.
Time.
Maybe. Good.
I hope you guys will have me back after
oh,
this.
Oh, trust me. Oh, yeah. We're going to have you back for an hour show next time. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on Spotlight On. I'm your host, Stacey Ike, and we will see you guys soon. Thanks so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz, you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.